All right, if you open your Bibles to Ephesians 2:10, we're going to start right out with reading it, and let's do that. Now, you remember that you read the yellow and I read the white, okay? For we are his workmanship, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in him. You know, I read an article just about a month back about a pastor who drives past Rick Warren's Saddleback Church in L.A., in South L.A., every week to go to his church. And it was in, I can't remember what magazine, and it was this whole article about how he couldn't figure out why Rick Warren's church is bigger than his, and that he fought a lot of envy, and he complained because he only had 3,000. Yeah, and Rick has like 17,000, if I recall right. And so he was bummed on 3,000, and I thought, oh, brother, you know. But anyhow, it was more of a self-confession, and he was frustrated with himself for being envious, and re-reminded us that we're to serve the kingdom, not try to get as many people as we can into our church. And so as I read the article, I wondered if in some ways all of us feel kind of the same way in, on some level of thinking, not about how many people, but wondering why some people are farther along than we are in a spiritual realm. And maybe you're even wondering why others around you are doing better than you, that they seem to understand how to use their gifts and talents and as though they just totally know what they're doing. You know, they just move around doing their job and without hesitation or a second thought. And I remember in my early days as a Christian that some people seemed to know who they were in the Christian world and skittering around and doing it. And there I was, hunting around, trying to find the will of God in my life. You remember that when you're just first a Christian? That's what you're trying to do, find the will of God. You don't know it's right in front of you with red letters and black letters all in a single book called the Bible. But, you know, I was running around trying to figure out what the will of God, what he wanted me to do in life. And I began to understand what we're going to learn today. And that is that God has stated his will. Tonight he stated his will. And what was his will? That we should walk in them, right? That we should walk in good works. And so I took the leap and I began serving. And as our verse says today, I began learning that I needed to understand each step and grow and learn. And I'm still today learning all the things about what God wants in my life and wants in your life. And yet I know I still have a long ways to go to fill up my life. How about you? I keep thinking about it, and I think, man, time's getting shorter and shorter, and I'm not getting far enough in some senses, you know. And I look at that, and I think, you know, from God's perspective, he gives you and me a portion, an amount, a quantity, a ration of faith, he says in Romans, to perform your gifts and your talents and expects you and me to use them and grow into them. And, you know, I think the real key here is that it isn't so much that we may or may not know our gifts, because he just tells us to serve and we kind of do them. It's that we have a fear. We always have a fear capacity instead of a faith capacity and in a courage capacity to just get up and start serving. And so, but maybe it's the block of fear that is doing it. So let me read Romans 12, verse 3 to you so you can understand what I'm saying about that particular passage. For I say, through the grace given to me, meaning his gifts, and you know, one of the things that's very interesting is when God or Paul, or one of the writers of the New Testament, whoever does, when they use the word grace, they're always talking about giving. Do you realize that? Grace is giving. And it's giving when there's no return. I mean, whether, you know, like when Paul talks about finances in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he talks about it being this grace. He calls it this grace. And here he says, for I say, through the grace given to me, or in other words, through the talents and gifts that God has given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or wisely or have a sound, a realistic mind, as God has dealt or distributed to each one a measure, a portion, a ration, a quantity, a metered, that funny word, isn't it? A metered of faith. Now, when I was thinking about that meter, last week I was in a company that makes yogurt. Okay, I got to tour this thing and work with them a little bit. And so it was really funny because I was on this one machine and they put, they do 44 cases of 24 yogurt cups a minute. So this thing is really pounding and I'm watching it go along. And as it goes, as it feeds through, they plop some fruit in the bottom and then they plop the yogurt in and then they seal it and it keeps on going down and this thing is just running like a wild thing. And that's exactly what Paul's saying here, that God has metered us some faith in our life. And he's given us the capacity to serve. He's given us the faith to serve. Our problem is we got to supply the courage. And maybe we could even pray about that, okay? So then he says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace, now this is the giving part again, that is given to you, let us use them. That's right. Let us use them. Okay? So first God warns us not to think too highly of ourselves because inwardly we can do that. Now, you know how I know that? Because when I get up here and preach, I will be preaching along and you're thinking, oh, I could have made that point a lot better than you. Oh, you don't do that? Is that just the gift of preaching or something? I used to do that with everybody. I think, oh, you could have slam dunked in there and you didn't do it. You know, that kind of thing. And the problem is we kind of think that we could do it all right if we did it. And other people don't, but then when we get to doing it, you know what happens? We just can't do it all right, right? We end up having the same problem. So Paul's warning us not to think more highly than ourselves, to be realistic, to be wise about our gifts and talents so we have a reality. And then second, we are given this meter or measure of or ration of faith. And what does he mean by this measure of faith? It seems like this measure is divvied out bite size, at a bite size level to each of us so that we can grow in it and cultivate it, and then he meters some more, and then he meters some more as we grow in it. And it's only because of our fear factor that I think it colors how we view things, because somebody goes, well, man, he got a great gift, and I got this tiny gift. And it doesn't work very well. And so we get people looking at that, well, you know, because people say, yeah, but you're a pastor. Well, so? We all get metered. All of us do that. And I think it's the fear that comes in that colors that ability to walk in good works. And it looks like different portions, like I say, but I don't think it necessarily is. It's just how we handle it. Thirdly, Paul says we do not have the same functions. So we understand, and I've talked about this on many occasions, where if there's 7 billion people in the world, there's 7 billion different gifts and talents going on. No two people are alike. It just doesn't work that way. And yet all of us are in the same group of people, the body of Christ, Paul calls it. We're all in the same group. We work together as a single unit. Man, I love those kind of thoughts that he has. Now, that's God's will, right? Okay, so don't afterwards go, well, I'm not quite sure what God's will is in my life. God's will in your life is to use them. Okay, all right. So then he says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let's use them. Now, I want to go to Matthew chapter 25 because Jesus addresses the same issue. Matthew 5, starting with verse 14, and Jesus tells his listeners a parable. Now, when I say a parable, many people may or may not know what a parable is. What a parable is a person uses kind of fictitious people, and they set up a situation, but really has the ramifications about a whole different situation. You get it? It's like a word picture. Like, for instance, I remember one time I was talking to this guy and in his marriage, and he kept on wanting to get out of his marriage, and he says, well, I want to get out of it because it's not working. I said, listen, it's like a teeter-totter. I said, do you remember when you were a kid and you teeter-totter in the schoolyard, and you would be going along and having a good time, teeter-tottering, and kind of like marriage, and then all of a sudden, somebody would start edging off the end of the teeter-totter. You remember those days? Yeah, I got a split tongue by that one time because I wasn't looking. And so they go towards the edge, and then what happens to the fun of the teeter-totter? It's not very much fun then, is it? Because you're thinking, man, I'm going to hit ground, and who's going to bail first? And finally, somebody bails, okay? Well, did I talk about marriage in that teeter-totter? I just made a remark, but you were thinking marriage, right? Because that's just the way marriage works. Is if somebody wants to get out, you can't have a good marriage. You can't do that if it's going. Okay, well, that's a parable. All right? Now, Christ talks about this parable, and he's wanting the listener to discover for themselves what he's about to say in this parable. And in this case, he tells a story about servants giving them a portion of money called, just happens to be called talents, but that's what it was, an investment. And today, they figured that a talent was worth $20,000, okay? So he distributes a few different talents to people. And the story goes along, and he entrusts them. And so when we think about it, just think for a minute. If you were going to go somewhere and you had one of your friends do some investment and say, well, here's five talents, because he gives five to one, two to another, and one to another, you're talking about some pretty big dough you're handing these people to work with. So in this case, the parable is talking about the master gives the slave or his servants this. Well, he's making a big investment with him. Okay. All right, so let's just start by reading it, Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven, all right, so we already know that he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his own goods to them. And to the one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability. Now, understand that this master in this story, which is God, understands our capacity. Okay? He understands what ability we have and what we can do. And it says, and immediately he went on a journey. Now, it frustrates me when I read that a little bit, because I want my ability to be greater than what it is in the present. And you may feel the same way. You may feel like, man, I'd like it to be a lot more. But God is quite realistic. Okay, he doesn't get into the politics. He gets into the exact truth, and we seldom do. And so, you know, as I thought about this, I thought about how many times that I've been in a conversation with maybe somebody from another company, and we've had this discussion of, you know, if you're going to improve things in your company, you really have to know the truth about everything. You can't continue to live in your exaggerated Disneyland view of the company. You've got to come to truth, all right? You follow what I'm saying? Because how can you fix things if you're in Disneyland? There's nothing to fix. But if you come to the truth, well, that's exactly what God's saying. To each according to his own ability, he's laying down the truth, all right? And so God asks the same thing of us in our own lives. To look at the truth in our lives and look at what our ability is and then live up to that ability, and then he'll be giving us more. And we'll read this here. But speaking the truth in love, this is what it says in Ephesians, and it really means truthing in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So all of a sudden, Paul uses a parable, all right? Talking about a body, but he's really talking about all of us. Now, like I said, Jesus is realistic about his servants, and if they aren't, they need to understand their truth, and we need to understand ours. So each gift was a maximum gift for them. Are you following me? The one that had five, and the one that had two, and the one that had one, all of them have the same gift measure, all the way to the top of their ability. So 16 says, then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. So he turned $100,000 into $200,000, okay? And so in other words, this person probably had the highest polish, and he had been doing it for a long time, and he used it, he grew it, he doubled it, and then says in 17, and likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. So he took his 40,000 and made 80,000. And now listen to this lesson. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Oh, bummer. So he took his 20,000, he dug in the dirt, and he put the 20,000 in, covered it up, and made sure nobody was looking, and waited for his master to come back. Man, what a great employee, huh? Why? Because he got scared. And you know, you think back and you think, man, the master didn't fool around. He invested in heavily. He gave him $20,000 equivalent, and this guy just buried it. And you know, I look at that and I think, you know, he is heavily invested in you. Do you know that? He's heavily invested in me and you, and he's looking forward to see us be able to walk in these good works because it's the best thing for us. And we have this measure of faith, and we have these abilities, and we can use our gifts so we're without excuse because he knows the limits of our ability. And we choose sometimes not to do it. Or maybe some of you have never done it. We get to 19, it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. I think that's figurative for the judgment day. He's coming back, and now he's going to judge him, okay? So he who had received five talents came and brought five talents, another five talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Wow, what a great reward. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over the few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You know, I look at this and I think back about that pastor, and he's worried because he only has 3,000, and Saddleback has 17,000, and we have less than both of them. And you know what? It doesn't matter, does it? We have to live up to our ability. God is asking us, what are you doing? He's not asking, what is Rick Warren doing? And let's compare you to Rick. He's not doing that. And let's see, I already read that. Yeah, so what's interesting that I see in Christians who don't invest in the kingdom of God and don't use their gift, who don't serve, is say to others at certain times, you'll hear them say, you know, when I die, I hope that I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, you know what? You can hope all you want. But according to this parable, your hope is fruitless. If you don't get up and walk in them, there is no well done, good and faithful servant. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I find that a little frightening. I hope that on that day, we, all of us here, could be able to stand before the Lord and say, you know what, you told me to do this and I did it. And he goes, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And when he says that, what he's saying is the Lord's behind us. We have the Holy Spirit. He cultivates in front of us so we can go walk in those things. It isn't just our effort. It's a combination. And so he said, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And so I want you to read this with me, the next four words, okay? Can you read it out loud with me? And I was afraid. No, you didn't read it with me. Okay, let's do it again. And I was afraid. Yeah, that's the key, isn't it? I was afraid. And I went and hid your talents in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. And he's thinking, I did a great job. I was so scared. And he got it all back. Whew, I paid my bill. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. He's saying to you, me, look, if you have this little bit and you're not using it, then I'm going to give it to somebody else who can use it. But if we have these little bit and we actually walk in them and we do it, we're not comparing size. We're comparing the command in answering God's command to walk in them. That's what we're comparing. And then he will increase your ability. But this servant didn't even try. He sat, maybe, you know, who knows what happened. He contemplated and thought, I had to get out there and do it. And maybe I ought to try, but maybe somebody will rip me off. So you know what, I'm just going to bury it in the ground. And I know that he's at least going to get it back. Because I sure hate to go to him and have invested and end up losing all of his money. And we hear that same thing. Well, I'm afraid to tell anybody about Christ because what if I'm wrong? Will it screw them up for the rest of their lives? Have you heard that before? It's not going to screw them up for the rest of their lives. They hear a lot of stuff all through their life. It won't. The Holy Spirit, I think, is right there to take that. And so the master came back and he was angry because he didn't invest. He didn't do as he asked him to do. And I look at it and I think, is this something for us to really think about tonight? What would the master's response be to you tonight if he was to come back and say, okay, what did you do with the talents I gave you? 28. So take the talent from him, the one who is not willing to use it, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has what? More will be given. So it isn't that you have these talents and you sit there and you stay there and this is all you have and you have to moan and groan because God didn't give me very much. No. You grow. He gives more and he gives more and he gives more. To everyone has, more will be given and he will have abundance. You know, I was thinking about you, James. Tonight, while I was preparing this, I met James. How many years ago was that when we started going to Starbucks? Maybe 5 years ago? Now, when I met James, pardon me, James, he didn't know his head from the hole in the ground about the Bible, true? Yeah. He didn't know his theology. He didn't know any of that, you know. And that's okay. Everybody, what I'm saying is everybody has to start with the one talent, right? And so James and I began to get together, and he started learning his theology, and he started learning his Bible. And at first he really wasn't too comfortable with speaking in front of people, and then he started speaking in front of people. And now he's in the youth group, and he serves in the youth group, and he affects these kids. The kids love him. And tomorrow night we have a baccalaureate come into our church, and I had a meeting. I'd already scheduled a meeting, and he only had 3 days. He said, Yeah, I'll speak. Is that cool or what? I mean, typically, if I ask somebody 2 weeks ahead, could you speak? Oh, I don't know, man. 2 weeks. I don't know if I could get it all done in 2 weeks. He only had 3 days. Jamie called him, and he says, yeah, okay, I'll do it. Now, where did James start? With one talent. And then he increased that talent. And then he increased that talent. And he increased that talent. And I look at it and I think, where's James going to go by the time he gets done, man? He's going to be a rocket man. Well, he's not putting on the brakes. Are you putting on the brakes, James? Yeah, I don't think you're putting on the brakes. And I look at that and I think, to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. And I think we have to look at our heart, because the other side of this says, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. So here's Jesus talking about this parable, and he is talking to all the Israelite reader or listeners all around him, saying, get up and walk in your good works, or I'm going to take it away and I'm going to give it to those who do. Now, I don't know what God does in the body of Christ, if he still has that same philosophy. I would assume he does. But I don't know. That would kind of make me a little scared. A little bit afraid. I'd be more afraid of God being mad at me than I would of people being mad at me. You know what I'm saying? Being able to get out and try to serve and bumble around and counsel wrong and tell them the wrong answers out by. So what? Everybody has to learn. So what? They'll get the right answer. Our loving God is faithful to you and I. He has given us these gifts and talents. He said to walk in them. We have to hone them. Right? We have to keep honing them and honing them. We have to become a student of those things that we do. So that on that day, and maybe this isn't all the motivation, because I think it's about loving people, right? And loving God. But on that day, when we get there, man, I don't know about you, but when my name comes up and I'm standing before Christ and he goes, hey, you sad sack, you didn't do a thing. Wouldn't that be a drag? And so all I'm saying is, what you have, give. Give. You have this grace. You have the faith. He's given you this portion. He's metered out this faith for you. Walk in it. Do it. Love on people. But remember, it's about loving him, not about the people, because people will drive you crazy. Well, they will, right? I'm just being honest. They'll drive you flat crazy. You got to love God and then love people. And our loving God will give us all the strength and all the power to do that. Now, I know that because, you know what? When I have so many different things going on and I hardly have any time for the sermon, whew, the sermon goes right together. When I don't have time, he makes me study every last word. But he's faithful. Every week he's faithful. I've been doing this for 20 years. And I've hardly missed probably one or two sermons other than other speakers, because God's been that faithful. And he's that faithful to you too. So you think about that. If you aren't serving, and I look at you, and so many of you are already serving in whatever way you serve, serve. Walk in them. God didn't put that in there for no reason. Walk in there. He created these good works that you might walk in. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we won't bury our gifts. I pray that we'll figure out how to get up and have the courage to get up and walk around. Father, you have created us. You have beforehand prepared that we can walk in them, and then you just tell us to walk in them. And so, Lord, I just pray tonight that Ephesians 2:10 will really hit home, because you have gone from Ephesians 1:1 all the way through 1:9 explaining who we are so that we can walk in them. And so, Lord, I pray you'll grace us out tonight. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, you may be